Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you for the Bible. Thank you that you gave us the Bible, Lord God, that we would know you, would know what you command, what you expect, would know your name, your nature, your character. And that through your word, O Lord God, through your word, you would draw us to yourself through salvation in Jesus Christ, through trusting in Jesus Christ. We pray now, O Lord God, that you would teach us. Teach us in our heads. Teach us in our hearts. That you would shape us and form us and mold us now, O Lord God, into the people and to the body that you, body of Christ, that you would like us to be, that you desire us to be, O God. Father God, we pray now that we would know you. And that you would reorder our entire lives. That we would walk in your ways, not walk on our own ways, God. We pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father God, you would make us born again, O Lord God. We would not walk after the devil, but walk after Jesus, O Lord God. Because you are wonderful and worthy, Father. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. It's about a few weeks away, I think, right? Still got some time, don't we? Please? Yeah. I know it's getting close to December when I start getting the emails from my mom and my sister. No, really, what do you want for Christmas? Really? Can we wait on that a little bit? But it's coming. It's coming up very quickly. Thanksgiving is this week. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. Yeah. And yes, we will be having church on Christmas Day. Sunday, same service, 10 o'clock. Everything's normal. So please plan accordingly. Come on out for that. But here we are. We're at Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is wonderful. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to give thanks earnestly and sincerely for us to give thanks. Sometimes we just don't feel very thankful. It's hard to say thanks when we're alone, when we don't have a job, when our marriage is full of strife, or when our children are not walking with Jesus. Hard to say thank you when we are discouraged and down, or it's hard to say thank you when we're hectic and frantic and harried about many things, our work and our school and our activities and our families. And the coming up now of the Christmas season just adds, for many, a level of stress and sadness that makes it hard to have a really thankful heart. Sometimes when we say thank you, we feel like it's a lie. We feel like we're faking it. We feel like we say thank you or project this thankful image because it's what we're supposed to do. Sometimes that's not bad. Sometimes to do the things we know we should do and then hoping that we follow into it with our enthusiasm, that's not always a bad thing. But there can be this sense when life is hard that, boy, to say thanks right now makes me feel fake. But the Bible commands us to give thanks. So how do we reconcile those two? Or let me ask the question this way. How do we say thanks earnestly, genuinely, joyfully, say thanks when life is hard? When we're suffering, when we're in sorrow. How do we give thanks when life is crazy? Well, turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms, as we will study this morning, Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is God's Word. Give thanks. We're called and commanded in this psalm and throughout the Scriptures to give thanks to God. In this passage, this is a psalm, and psalms are poetry. This is Hebrew poetry, and Hebrew poetry often has a style. There's different styles, but often has some common styles to it. One is that they often repeat things with different words, so they have phrases that are set up in couplets. There's a repetition to things, giving the same idea with some different words. In a sense, this whole psalm is structured that way. Verses 1 and 2 have a common theme, a call, a command to give thanks or to praise the Lord. And then so does verse 4 say praise the Lord. So the psalm is broken up from verses 1 to 3 are one section, and 4 and 5 are the second section. Verses 1 to 3, the command, praise the Lord. The second section, verse 4, the command to praise the Lord. Then, the second half of each section, so verse 3 of the first section and verse 5 of the second section, give the rationale or the reason or the backing or the foundation for giving thanks to God. So it's just given different words, but with the same idea, the same theme. Hopefully you'll see that fleshed out in just a minute here as we walk through the outline in detail. First, in verses 1 to 2, 1 and 2, there's a call from the psalmist to give thanks. The call to give thanks. Now, first here, we see a phrase used here in verses 1 and 2 of worship, or shouting for joy to the Lord. The idea is we associate with the word praise, and we'll see that in verse 4 too there. The idea of praise the Lord. In the Scriptures, praise and thanksgiving are linked. Okay? We praise God for who He is. We give thanks to God for what He's done. But those two are intricately connected and linked, and we'll see that play out here. In the first verses 1 and 2, it focuses more on the idea of praise, but with the idea of giving thanks to God for who He is and what He has done, both together here. Those ideas are linked. Verses 1 and 2, we are commanded to praise God, and do it not in a half-hearted way, but do it in an exuberant way. Shout to the Lord. And not do it in a somber, depressed way, but shout for joy to the Lord. Some of your translations may have here, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Okay? This is that passage. Shout for joy to the Lord. Who? Who is to shout to joy? Shout for joy to the Lord? Just Israel? Just those who are in His temple? Just the covenant community? What does verse 1 say? All the earth. All the earth. Those who claim the name of God, those who claim to be followers of God, those who claim to be part of His community, and those who do not. Shouting for joy to the Lord, giving praise, worshiping, acclaiming God for who He is the call and the command for all the earth. Every nation, every people, every tribe, every tongue, every one of us are called to praise the Lord, to shout for joy to God, because He, and we'll see later, He's the maker of all. This is not a command just limited. It's not okay to say, well, you don't know God, so you don't need to worship Him. No, everyone is called and commanded to worship God, the God of the Bible. worship the Lord, all the earth. And it's not just a command. It's not just this like mean, you know, like the worship leader here, the psalmist, is standing with a big whip in his hand saying, okay, everybody, you worship God. Or let me see some worshiping. Shout, that's not joyful. That's not joyful back there, you. Come on now. No. It's an invitation. Come. Shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth, shout for joy. I invite you to partake in this glory. Shout for joy to the Lord. Give thanks to Him. Praise Him. Call on His name. Shout for joy to the Lord. Now, I want you to notice something here. It appears throughout the psalm, and it will come into play, particularly, we'll talk about this in a few minutes here. But if you look at the word Lord, in many of your translations, there's something different about the word as it's written out there. You see anything different? That's right. Yeah, it's all uppercase letters. Maybe not in all your translations, but many of your translations, it's all written in uppercase letters. Though the L is the standard big L, and then the ORD are uppercase, but they're a little bit smaller. There's kind of they're a smaller font type there, but they're all uppercase letters. Now, those of you who come Wednesday nights and went through the series on Psalms are familiar with this, so that's okay. It's good. It's a good review. In our English Bibles, that is often written that way when the word they're used is the Hebrew word for Yahweh, for the name of God, okay? Which we don't exactly know how to pronounce because the Jews throughout history have not pronounced the word for fear of mispronouncing it and for a sacredness of God's name. It's God's name. It's when He says to Moses, you know, when Moses says, okay, I'll go to Egypt and I'll tell the Israelites that you sent me, but who should I say sent me? God, what's your name? And He says, I am sends you. This is the word I am, Yahweh. This is His name here, okay? And so when you see in all capital letters there, it's the word Yahweh, right? Other words they have for Lord, which will have the lowercase O-R-D. And that's important here because when this Old Testament uses the word Yahweh, it's invoking God's covenant. His name is the means by which He establishes His covenant, invokes His covenant, and sustains His covenant with His people. It's the call that He is their King and we are His people. And He has promised on His covenant to maintain our relationship with Him. So, in a sense, we already see a little bit, shout for joy to the Lord. What is it about God that we're shouting the joy about? It has something to do with the covenant nature of God, that God is the establisher and maintainer of this profound relationship between He as the King of Kings and we as His people or His servants. And we'll see that played out, I hope, in a minute. Give thanks to the Lord. Shout for joy. Next section, verse 3 then, is, well, what's the foundation of that, of the call to give thanks? And it's a celebration of God. A celebration of who God is. What is the basis, the rationale for praising God, for giving thanks to Him? We celebrate who He is. Verse 3, know that the Lord, the covenant God, the covenant King, the covenant Keeper, is God. He is not just an earthly king that we are paying allegiance to. An earthly king is very limited in his ability to maintain a covenant He forms with us and keeps with us. But the Lord that we worship is God. God Almighty. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. What is the rationale for worshiping God? What is the rationale, the reason for which we are to give thanks, called to give thanks to God? Because, one, He is God. Two, He made us. He created us, verse 3 says here. His formed you. He shaped you in your mother's womb. You are precious to Him. He paid attention to each and every single aspect of who you are when He formed you. He miraculously made you. You are not an accident. You are not happenstance. You are a created being, created by Almighty God Himself. Therefore, we give thanks to Him. Three, we give thanks to Him because we belong to Him. We are His possessions. I know that's something we don't like to think about as Americans, but we belong to God. Again, verse 3 here. It is God who made us. We are His. He owns us. Praise God. We give thanks to Him because He possesses us. Lovingly, tenderly, powerfully. We are His. And not by our choice, by His hand, by His gracious act of sending Jesus to die on the cross, by His gracious act of calling us to Himself through faith in Jesus Christ, we are His. Fourth, we give thanks to Him because... So three was we give thanks because we belong to Him. Four is we give thanks because we belong to Him. We are given an honored position. Still in verse 3 here. First He says, we are His, then we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We're not just a possession that God puts up on His shelf and, you know, says, hey, look, this is my collection of people over here. Yeah, they're a little dirty sometimes, but you know, they're pretty cool. What do you think? No, we are His people. We belong to Him. He is like the shepherd. We are the sheep of His pasture, who He cares for and nurtures and feeds and protects and defends and stands for and calls by name and watches over always. We give thanks to Him because we have this special position by being His people. That we are part of the covenant community. That we are the people of God. That we are the body of Christ. That we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We give thanks to Him because God has called us out of the pit of hell and redeemed us by killing Jesus on the cross to bring us into relationship with Himself. To make us His people. To adopt us as children. And so we give thanks to Him. To our God. He watches over us. And He cares for us in ways that we don't understand. I know that there are many times, if you are in any situation that I mentioned in the beginning of the sermon here, if you're in any situation in life where it's hard to give thanks right now, you're tempted, I suspect, to say, how is God watching over me? I don't feel it. This is God watching over me. He is. His word declares it. Right here. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. He watches over and protects us. And does so in ways that we often do not see, do not understand, have no clue of. So many of us will be like Job when we get to heaven. We will almost want to, you know... Sometimes in our weaker moments, we say, when I get to heaven, I got a few things I got to ask God. I humbly commend to you, you won't when you get to heaven. Right? There's a sense, that's what Job said. Man, I am righteous. This is wrong what's happening to me. I want to stand before God and plead my case. And God came down. Job says, here's my summary of Job. Job said, God, I want to know why. And God came and said, you want to know why? Here's the answer to why. I am God. and God reveals Himself as the Creator. And that answer to Job's question, why, we sit here and go, well, that's not the question, God. But when Job got God's answer, he shut his mouth and was in awe of who God is. God watches over us in ways we never will understand this side of heaven. We will know, we will look back, and we will spend all eternity continuing to praise God and stand in awe of Him for all the ways that He is caring for us that we do not see, plus all the ways we do see right now and give Him thanks for. So in faith, we give thanks to Him now for the ways He is watching over us, because His Word declares it. You can take it to the bank. Take it all the way, because His Word declares He is with us. He is watching over us. Now the second section of this psalm, in a sense, as I said before, it's a repetition of the first section, with just different, some different phrases, some different words. Verse 4, again, now is the call to give thanks to God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. You see here now the direct connection between thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise, very directly connected here in this verse. Excuse me. In this verse here now, the call to praise God and to give thanks to Him is extended not to the entire world. It's really talking about the covenant community. The church now. I wouldn't call the church in the Old Testament when this was written, but the people of God. Right? Come together. Assemble together. Not just by yourself. Come together, all people who worship God, and give praise to Him. Sing praise to His name. Give thanks to Him. Offer His thanksgiving. This is the enter the gates and His courts with praise. So the image here in this psalm, in some ways, is the idea of a king. The Lord, that Yahweh, is the mighty king. The few psalms before this are also that way. They're talking about kind of God as king. This sort of concludes that series of psalms here about God's kingship here, right? So we enter the gates of the palace of the king, we go into the courts of the king, and we praise Him for the mighty battles He has won on our behalf, and for His splendor, for His glory, for His majesty, for His power. Because that is Yahweh who we worship. And we come together as the covenant community and heed the call, the invitation to give praise to our mighty King. Verse 5 then answers, why? Why praise Him? Why give Him thanks? And again, as it was in verse 3, it is, he declares that there's a celebration of who God is. And the celebration of who God is the reason why we give thanks to Him. Verse 5. Four. See that four? See that beautiful four there in the beginning of verse 5? Okay? Because verse 4 said, praise the Lord. Give thanks to God. Praise and thanks. Praise and thanks. And the question is, well, okay, we can just do that. That's fine. God says it, so we do it. But almost always in the Scripture, God doesn't just leave it there. He gives us why we are to obey the command. And verse 5 has the why, as verse 3 did. And it starts with the four. Four answers the question, why? Why give praise to God? For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Okay. Why do we praise God? Verse 5. Verse 5 lists out, there are three phrases in verse 5, and they build on each other. Okay, first phrase, for the Lord is good. Look at the word Lord again. It's that all cap one. It's Yahweh talking about His covenant. So already in this first phrase on why we praise God, we have a little bit of hint of why, which is going to get clearer in the next two phrases of verse 5. Because the covenant God, the King who is the covenant maker and keeper, good. Your King is good. Your King who made you, whose possession you are, who watches over you like the good shepherd, He is good. Therefore praise Him. One. Second phrase of verse 5 as to why we are to praise Him. His love endures forever. When God makes His covenant, you guys remember, we talk about covenants all the time, right? Because they're in the Bible all the time. Right? And there's a covenant that we see a little bit going on here with Adam and Eve as they get married. There's a covenant formed there with God as the king, and Adam is His vassal, and Eve is like God's daughter, kind of pledging to, if they come together, that God will take care of Adam and Adam will serve Him. And we see the covenant under Noah, but a covenant I want to keep focusing on here is the covenant under Abraham, right? God makes a covenant with Abraham. God covenants to be Abraham's father. God covenants with Abraham to make His name great, to make many kings come from Abraham, to give him vast possessions, to bless him, and through Abraham, to bless all the nations of the earth. This happens in many ways throughout the Scripture, but ultimately it's pointing on towards Jesus as the fulfillment of the promise of God's covenant to Abraham to bless all the world through offering salvation. God, in making His covenant with Abraham, promises that even if Abraham breaks the covenant, God will keep the covenant. That's not the way covenants work. Your mortgage, if you own a house, is a little teeny... It's not a covenant, but it's a contract, right? Where you have contracted with the bank or the mortgage agency or whoever it is. And you say, I will make these type of payments for this long, and you will, you know, you have the house, and at such a time as I pay it all off, and you know, my $200,000 house costs $4.7 million after 30 years, you know. At that time, then I will own the house, right? Okay. So you're in a contract with them. Go ahead and try and see what happens if you break the covenant, the contract, by not paying your mortgage. Your mortgage company isn't going to come back and say, I will pay. Right? You have a car loan. You decide not to pay your car loan and thus break the contract. Your car loan people are not going to come back and say, I will cover it for you. It doesn't work that way. It's not the way the covenant under Moses worked. The way I'm talking about now is different too. Under Abraham, God said, you break the covenant, Abraham, and people in the sense of Abraham, I will take the punishment. What does that look like? That looks like Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. That's God taking the punishment on Himself. Why? Because His love endures forever. Because God loves you. Because He made you and you are His, and He has promised to maintain that covenant, that relationship with you forever. And if that makes you think, really? That I can get away with anything I want, you're probably not under the covenant. You're probably not really trusting in Jesus. I commend you. If your first response is, you mean God pays for when I screw up? That's great. I'm going to screw up a lot more. No, our heart of those who are believing in Jesus and covered under the covenant are those who say, He pays when I sin? Let us give thanks to the Lord and praise His name. Third phrase now, more of the same. His faithfulness continues through all generations. He kept the covenant through all generations in the Bible. He is keeping His covenant with us now and will keep it forever. So we can give thanks to Him. When we look at the Old Testament, we see His continual faithfulness to His people, even when they are unfaithful. Yes, He disciplines them, but He never destroys them, never cuts off relationship with them. When we look at Jesus and we see that God was faithful to keep His promises and send us a Savior. Therefore, as we look now, and we are standing here in between Christ's first coming and His second coming, we look back and we see God has been faithful. We can now say, God will be faithful. God will maintain my relationship with Him. Even when I'm going through horrible times, even when I don't feel Him right now, when I don't see Him right now, God will maintain His covenant because He is faithful and His love never fails. He is the covenant-keeping King, and we are His people. Therefore, even when my situation is crazy, I can give thanks to Him. Not because my situation is always good, though when it is, we should give thanks to Him. But we can give thanks to Him because He is good. And He will redeem all who believe in Christ Jesus. Come to Him, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to Jesus. He maintains His faithfulness to us. Come back to Jesus. Trust in Jesus now. Whoever we are, wherever we are, whatever is going on, heed the invitation to give thanks and praise and honor to God because He keeps His covenant with us forever. All, Romans 10:13, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Brothers and sisters, are you in Christ Jesus? Have you trusted Christ Jesus as your Savior? Then friends, whatever the situation right now, heaven is coming. Eternity with Jesus is coming, brothers and sisters. So give thanks to God. Give thanks to your mighty King. Now and forever. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Sometimes it's really easy to give thanks. And we thank You for those times and pray, Lord God, that when times are when we have been blessed and things are, it's easy to give thanks, that we would give thanks to You, O Lord God, for all things. Every good and perfect gift comes from You. And Father, when things are hard, when times are hard, I pray, Father God, that we would give thanks to You, Lord God. Not because things are easy, but that we would give thanks to You because You are good and good to us, and that You are faithful to Your covenant You made with us. We give thanks to You because You are keeping Your covenant You made with us in Christ Jesus. Thank You, God, that it's not up to us to maintain the covenant, our relationship with You. You are doing that, Lord. And You are faithful. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.